There we go. I think it's live. Yeah, it's live. Took a bit. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, and good night, everyone. It's the Fakeologist Show. We're back. We took a week off. It seems so long ago. It's Wednesday, February the 25th, 2026. And we're going to talk about fake stuff and other crazy things going on in the world. We've got, we'll introduce Jim Rizzoli first. Jim, hello.
Hi there. Good to be here.
Thank you. Good to have you. And you have your own BitChute channel, of course. You do a walk and talk every single day. You don't take one day off. And your content creation level is extremely high. I don't know how you do it, but you do it. And it's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
But way to go. And we also have Fake Nukes Phil.
Fake Nukes Phil.
He does a lot of content as well. Fake Nukes Phil, how you been?
Well, thanks for asking.
All right, we got Frank the Salt Guy, Ni Hao. We got Till saying Phil, and Gil Yard saying woohoo in the chat. So we got already some amazing comments so far. Show's going gangbusters.
I was wondering if we can talk. Did you guys hear at least part of Trump's talk last night?
I did. It was just impossible to listen to. I'm really, I don't know about you. I'm a bit of a Trump fan, but he's got to go soon. I don't know if he's going to make it. Is he going to make it all the way through his term, do you think?
Well, I don't know. But I mean, I didn't listen to it. I listened to Mark Dice, and he did a commentary on it, which I thought was pretty good. So I thought he brought out, you know, the best points, you know, in the talk, I would imagine, you know.
Let's see.
The State of the Union address was last night, as you probably heard, and it was unlike any other in the history of the Union. Usually they're extremely boring and hollow, and the president just rattles off a bunch of party talking points. But we have President Trump in office, and he put the Democrats on the spot and humiliated them in front of the entire country. I'll show you the best clips, the best reactions, and the Democrat protests to the State of the Union. So stay tuned. Be sure to subscribe to my channel if you're new here, because you're not going to find politically incorrect and, well, honest commentary like this anywhere else. It started off with quite a doozy and then just kept getting better and better every minute.
In the past 9 months, zero illegal aliens have been admitted to the United States.
This is a CNN feed, so they cut to a close-up. And then see how tight that shot is of the Republicans there. They don't want the American people to see this shot that all the Democrats on the other side of the aisle over there on the left are just sitting there very upset.
All right. Okay. Politics as usual. But I don't know. It was too much for me. It was there. Suzette, full of lies. Gilliard saying never boring with Trumpster. And FEMA Region 4 saying Mark Schuldice. Interesting.
Well, a lot of people don't like Mark Dice. I like him. I mean, he's a Trumper, and there's some things he's got wrong. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But when he's on target with something, he's on target. And he was the thing that really got to me listening to Mark Dice is the president says, okay, all you people here that are for defending the country and standing up to the American people against illegal immigration or something like that, you know, stand up. And all the Democrats, they didn't stand up. Yeah. They just sat down. So whatever your viewpoint is about Trump, the Democrats, they were asked to, you know, if you believe in defending the country and keeping the illegals out and doing what's right about that, stand up. And it's like, no, we're for having the illegal immigrants coming in and doing whatever they want. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Okay. Well, he said that zero illegal immigrants have come into the country. And that statement is probably true because, see, there's no illegal immigrants. We have a refugee law, and so Trump did not say zero refugees have come into the country. He did not say that. I'm here to tell you that they're just the flow of refugees is the same as before Trump was here, if not even faster.
And well, what is an illegal immigrant? I don't even know the definition.
Exactly. They can't define it. Because
well, Phil, but they're not refugees.
Well, that's how they're getting in. They're claiming refugees. Well,
no.
Status.
Well, that might be what some of them are doing. But the point is, he's absolutely right. Okay, the refugees is a whole different status than illegal immigrants. And so,
What, Jim, what do you think an illegal immigrant is in the United States?
An illegal immigrant is somebody who sneaks into the country that doesn't belong here, and they're not leaving their country because they're being persecuted. What you become a refugee when you say I'm coming to the United States because I'm going to be killed, something's going to happen to me.
Can you be an economic refugee?
Yeah, there's economic refugees. There's political asylums.
I've never heard of an economic refugee, Phil.
That's everybody.
That's nonsense. Everybody. That's nonsense. Anybody that comes into the country, I mean, think about it, all the illegal aliens, refugees, whatever. They're all economic refugees. I mean, they probably don't have any money or whatever the hell they don't have. But the point is, there is a big difference between refugees and illegal immigrants. So he was right in what he said.
Well, I'm with Phil. Yeah, I don't think there is a proper definition. So I'm with Phil on that.
I think he's misleading.
This is master.
Okay, Phil, do you think, you two here, okay? So do we have a problem with people coming into the country that don't belong here?
Yeah, we're full. No more refugees.
Okay, so you admit it. So we do have a problem there, right?
But they're playing games with the wording here. And the right wing always does this. They always play games with the illegal immigrant wording, and that's not the legal case that we're dealing with here. It's that we have the wet foot, dry foot. Anybody who wants to seek political asylum here in America, all they have to do is just place their foot on our beach and they can claim a political asylum.
Well, here you go. It says here, under the Refugee Act, part of the Immigration and Nationality Act, a refugee must show past persecution or a well-founded fear of future persecution based on race, religion, nationality, political opinion, or membership in a particular social group. General poverty, unemployment, or low wages do not meet this standard by themselves.
Okay, there you go.
Typical economic migrants leaving for better pay, cost of living, or chance of work are not eligible for asylum or refugee status just on that basis.
That's right. I mean, it's very specific. Okay, these people are not refugees. Now, the problem is they've been told to say they're refugees. Okay, so when they come here, then they have to treat them, you know, believing what they're saying is true. And so they bring them in. Now they got to go through the whole process and it takes, you know, a long time, but they weed them out pretty quick. You know, like 80% of them probably get weeded out right off the bat. You know what I mean? Okay. So that's how it is.
They just twist the law. You know, in fact, that paragraph you just read about the refugee asylum, I mean, there's 100 different ways they could twist that and they could just get in. And so it means nothing. It's not even worth the paper.
Well, Phil, they do go through. They have to be vetted. OK, so if you just say you're a refugee and you're a refugee from where? OK, I'm a refugee from Sweden. OK, well, what's your problem? OK, how are you being persecuted? Oh, you know, I'm gay. And they do that they gay is being part of it. Okay.
Yeah, see, being gay is right there. You're welcome in the country.
But some of them lie. You even put a video up.
They could easily lie and say, I'm gay. And,
Phil, didn't you put a video up showing a guy's doing that?
Usually I have not seen any cameras.
You put a black, didn't you put a video up of a black guy being interviewed by the woman? In, I think it was Canada, and you know he was saying that he was being persecuted because he's gay.
No, I mean that's
where I saw it. I thought I saw it on your site.
That was Gypsy Fox. You
it
like
might,
that.
It might have been.
Gypsy. No. I don't. Think
I'm
so.
Only. I'm only kidding. All right, listen. I'll just read here quickly. I don't want to talk about this too much longer because it's kind of boring. Okay. Illegal immigrant. It says here. In U.S. law, there isn't one single formal label illegal immigrant. Instead, people without valid status fall into several categories like undocumented, unlawfully present, inadmissible, or removable. The undocumented or unauthorized immigrant, someone living in the United States without legal immigration status, either because they entered without inspection or overstayed, violated a visa. Illegal immigrant or illegal alien, older, still use legal political terms for the same group, but widely criticized. Many organizations prefer undocumented or unauthorized. Anyway, so unlawful presence, a non-citizen is unlawfully present if they stay past the period authorized by DHS or in the U.S. without being admitted or paroled. This triggers 3 to 10 year reentry bars once they leave. Improper entry, entering between ports of entry, evading inspection, or using fraud is a federal misdemeanor separate from the civil status violation of being undocumented. Anyway, I could go on and on. So it's pretty gray.
Yeah, it sounds like whole bunch of legal jargon.
Well, Phil, do you believe that people are coming into the country illegally?
Yes, I don't believe that Trump has slowed the flow at all.
Well, that's the question, okay? I agree with you on that. Now, whether that has happened, that's the question. He says that he stopped it. I find that hard to believe.
He stopped illegal immigration. That's what he said. And so that's how he twists the words around. They're not zero illegal immigrants have entered the country. That's what he said. And so It's like, yeah, well, that's not, I mean, that's not the problem. The problem is these refugee people and these asylum seekers and how we're just granting asylum to just anyone that's from a war-torn region. And many of these wars are fake. You see, if I was in charge of border, they would have to come to me and they would have to prove to me that the war is fake. Like if they came from Nicaragua, I would say because they got some cartels down there, I'd say, okay, well, prove to me that the cartels are real. And they'll say, well, the Americans are funding them. I say, well, yeah, because it's a glowy operation. They're burning empty cars just like they did in Mexico this week.
Let's talk about that. That's a hot topic. Right. Frank and I talked about that as well. And we boiled it down to the price of silver. And if you haven't heard the show, you guys should listen to it. Because we triangulated this down to, they need to figure out, because if there are cartels or gangs or some lawless people that are shaking down businesses, if that's how they do things and they're interrupting the flow of silver out of Mexico in some way or t'other, and that's why.
So he thinks everything going on, he thinks the cartels are involved with silver.
They are harassing the engineers and all the people needed to run the mines. And see what happened in November that I never knew about is the United States Department of the Interior declared silver a critical mineral. And approximately about that time, the price of silver shot through the roof and it's still way up. So we thought that's a very interesting coincidence. And now we also didn't know that Mexico is the number two silver producer in the world. And then we looked up where all the mines were, and they're all in the areas where they say the cartels are most active.
Okay, so you don't believe there's a problem with drugs down there?
I don't think that's the main problem. I don't think drugs are a problem.
This is absolutely nonsense. I don't think
they give a damn about drugs coming in the United States. I think they facilitate them coming in. They love that their people are.
I saw an interesting video, and I didn't post it.
Are you kidding me right now, Jim?
But there's a guy in Mexico. He lives there. He's lived there for years, and he said, "How come we don't have a drug problem here in Mexico? I mean, because because they see all these fentanyl people here in the States, and they're all bent over, and they're all zombied out, and they say, well, how come if it's coming from Mexico, then how come we don't have the fent bents down here in Mexico?
That's a great question."
And I thought that was a good, he made a good point there. So the answer is,
they want Americans to be doped out of their mind, I think. I don't think they care about Americans being addicted. And the idea that the drugs come in from Canada, I think, are equally ridiculous and stupid. But
well, that silver thing, I haven't heard anybody talk about.
That's right. That's why we're on the cutting edge.
Okay, so you think this all has to do with silver?
I think that's a big chunk of it. Absolutely. Like, I also think, Jim, they want to integrate all three countries. I think that is.
Well, I know that. I mean, that's definitely the case. Oh, no doubt about that.
I think they want to integrate all three countries. And Trump just sort of throws it out there like he comes across as an ass when he brings it up. But it is the plan. I think it is the plan for sure.
Yeah.
As a Canadian, I think it's a fun. I'm not against it. I'm in the minority up here. People are so anti-American up here. It's unbelievable. It's off the charts. You wouldn't hear about it down there because they don't talk about it. But up here, that's all they talk about. They're so anti-American, they trip over themselves bad-mouthing Americans and Trump. It's unbelievable, and I find it embarrassing. But I also think that we're totally integrated already. We're already 2/3, 70% integrated already. It's just a couple of formalities to make it totally official, as far as I'm concerned. Now, Mexico, I'm not as sure, but you know, when they put all the auto companies over the border, and they took all the jobs over there, there's a lot of Mexican commerce going on. I think it's the number two to China with the United States. So they're already integrated, is my point, economically. Now, the silver is just one more thing. If the Americans declare silver a critical mineral, then you watch. They're gonna flow into Mexico to protect the mines. If silver is that valuable and that important as they've designated, I wouldn't be surprised if you see American troops in Mexico to protect the business.
Well, I can't see how they can go into Mexico. It would be against the Constitution. You don't understand. You just don't roll into someone's country with no reason.
Well, I guess that's why they're probably just going to give money to the Mexican military to do it then. But one way or the other, they're going to get it done.
Yeah.
I think.
In my opinion, it's not about silver. It's all about given a visual of destabilization, just like Trump destabilized Venezuela. Now he's destabilizing Mexico. And so all of Latin America is being, quote unquote, destabilized. And so that just brings refugee status, asylum seekers, and increasing the flow. And I've got historical precedent for this. I think it goes all the way back, to Korea and the Vietnam War. I mean, you know, there are huge colonies of Vietnamese here in the States, and we're pounding into our heads.
Are the Vietnamese still coming over? Because that was in the 80s.
I hear there's a huge colony over there in New Orleans. But
are they still coming, though? I don't think they are.
I've got a Vietnamese client, and she's got her own circle.
Are they still coming in 2026 is what I'm asking? Because they came over.
Well, they own a lot of houses. See, I do work for her because she's able to afford all these houses. And it's like, how are you can barely speak the language. How do you own all these houses? And so these Vietnamese are coming over here and they're cornering the market. And they pounded into our heads that we invaded Vietnam. Well, that's not what I'm seeing with my eyes. What I'm seeing with my eyes is the Vietnamese are invading us. And I don't see any Americans over there in Vietnam, you know, having a colony over there. There's none. Okay. But there's lots of Vietnamese colonies over here in the States. And that's how they're tricking us. And
well, that was after the Vietnam War. I'm reading.
And then the Somalia War.
They're not coming over in the same numbers they are. Somalia,
that was a fake war with that whole Black Hawk Down thing. In Mogadishu, and now Minnesota is just freaking, they've got a huge colony of Somalis over there. And
okay, let's switch one of your topics here, one of your videos rather. Let's talk about El Mencho, or what's his name, El Munchkin?
El Mencho.
Do you think that's a real guy?
Oh, he's probably an actor, yeah.
But what about just a cartoon character? Because
he could be an AI image. Yeah. I mean, just like Adam Lanza, remember from Sandy?
Yeah. Hook? Very bad Photoshop. And it's the same there. Who was the last guy? El Chapo.
Yeah, that's right. And right. So, yeah, the whole thing is just a fairy. It's just a soap opera. It's just a made for TV soap opera.
There's even sex involved. They're saying that they set him up to go.
Yeah, his girlfriend.
Did you hear that story? Yeah.
Yeah, his hot girlfriend turned him in for the $15 million.
Right, right, exactly.
And so, you know,
I'd like to see the receipts. So yeah. I mean, there's no one getting anything.
yeah, they can print you up a receipt, but you know, it's still, they can print up whatever they want. And that's what I say, that they control the receipts, the ledgers. That's why it's impossible to follow the money.
And when they had the terror headlines about what was going on in Puerto Vallarta, because Anarcapulco was down there, where Jeff Berwick and the gang, all the mm-hmm. truthers were down there at the exact same time. What a queen.
Yeah, that's what they, yeah. Yeah.
Max Egan.
Jim, and so we were waiting for Max to, but Max held back, and he didn't say that it's total chaos here in Puerto Vallarta.
No, he was saying all that.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, I think he was. Jim, did you watch him?
Well, yeah, I saw him. I thought that was, it was odd. It was odd that he was out in the street when nobody was out in the street.
Exactly. Okay? He said the place was burning down. It was chaos. The whole thing.
He did. Oh, wait, there he is.
Puerto Vallarta is a war zone. Where's the war? It's a burning car.
Those are just some random burning cars. There's nobody in those cars.
Well, why would there be?
And here, hey, look at this worried tourist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that could be AI right there.
Well, yeah, I'll agree. Anything could be AI. I'm not going to argue with that.
I mean, a lot of the stuff, you can't even believe it. You know,
I think they burned some real cars and some real trucks, but they're just.
Does that look like a war zone? It looks like there's a couple fires.
Exactly.
Okay. Right. Oh, an old car is on fire, and here we go again. Just like COVID, everyone had to shelter in place, lock down the whole state of Jalisco, which is a massive state. We looked up the different states in Mexico, and we certainly looked at the silver states. And it's basically where the cartels are the most dangerous, according to the State Department. So what a coincidence.
Yeah.
But the only story I think might be true is that the gold and silver mining companies are having a hard time keeping engineers down there because they are being threatened. And they said some have been kidnapped and murdered. Now, I can't verify any of those stories. But just the thought of that would keep enough people, professionals, from going down and harvesting at those mines. If you think about it, you just have to intimidate people. And they say, I'm not going to Mexico. Are you kidding me?
And yeah, they say that I've already seen all the advertisements. They're saying, come to Puerto Vallarta. It's totally
Does that
safe.
Look like a war zone?
No.
Where's the war? No, I don't see one guy with a gun.
Right.
Major tourist destinations in Mexico, they suddenly make the place seem unsafe. There's a lot of tourists here at the moment. There's a lot of American drones in the sky amongst all this as well. This is all by design. This is Trump starting war against the cartels. And the cartels are saying, well, if you're going to do that, then we are going to destroy your tourist industry.
Yeah. Well, anyway, doesn't look like a war zone to me. Yeah, and the planes are already flying down again. They only stopped for a day. Kind of like 9/11.
Max again going into the hysteria mode. No, the tourism is back, right back on target. I got a dentist appointment at my Mexicali dentist, and everything is normal at the border. There's nothing. So I knew it was fake from the get-go because everything's normal at the border. And it's just a... So Max again is misleading, as in my opinion, part of the military industrial complex, always saying that these wars are real, like in Gaza and now in Puerto Vallarta.
And he won't let that one go, will he? The Gaza thing, he will not let that go.
Yeah. And so that's, again, to say that we're destabilizing the region to bring refugee and asylum seekers to our shores. And that is how the military industrial complex works, is they create these fake conflicts around the world, and then they can move populations through refugee status, and they get the same result as if it would have been a hot war. And they don't have to do a hot war. They can accomplish everything they want to do just with media propaganda and with controlled opposition. And Donald Trump is controlled opposition, and all this stuff is media propaganda. This Puerto Vallarta and all this Gaza stuff.
This is the other guy I follow is Dollar Vigilante. I mean, he has some good stuff in here, but I'm not sure. Well, you got to take him with a grain of salt as well.
That's why I say the Trump thing is going to end in a bloodless coup. They're going to take care of MAGA, and it's not going to require a hot civil war. They're going to take care of MAGA, but just having Trump crash and burn, and then all of MAGA would crash and burn with him. And by crash and burn, I mean they just won't have any political power, because they'll be so embarrassed that they voted for Donald Trump that nobody will ever take him serious, and they'll say, we don't. And so they'll get the same result if it was a hot war, but they accomplish everything with media propaganda and controlled opposition.
Well, look at here's the war zone in Puerto Vallarta, and they got all the truthers down there.
I just thought it was odd that they were all down there at the same time.
Well, he says when they're being targeted. If you listen to him, he said when they were in Acapulco, they arranged a Category 5 hurricane. That's what he said. But just before they were down there, so he believed they sent a hurricane his way.
All right.
Jim, I think you'd like watching him, actually. You should maybe add him to your list of videos.
What's his name?
Dollar Vigilante.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he talks about finance and crypto. And for me, he's got enough interesting things to talk about. And he does get a lot of good clips. Yeah. But I wouldn't really probably take his investment advice. He thinks
he tell you what to invest in? Like, you
watch So
he's a typical watch my videos, but buy gold, buy silver.
I think Jeff is Bitcoin, right?
Yes, many other crypto. Although he hasn't been pumping any of them lately, he just tells you what he did 5-6 years.
Is it because they're down? Is that why?
Well, probably, yeah. You know, things go up and down, but basically he's just telling you that this is probably his last video and the world will probably be over by the time you see it. That's every video. And I thought, come on, man.
Yeah.
He's one of these guys that think this is the end. So you can see all his thumbnails here. He's talking about Escape the Matrix. Yeah, but he gets a passport and flies all over the world. So but Escape the Matrix. Right. So these guys are selling an idea, but they don't live it. That's for sure.
Yeah. My friend from the dog park, he's still believing that there's going to be World War III in Iran right now. And
yes.
I was talking about the Mexican situation and how that was a classic case of media hysteria. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, but that's not what's happening in the Middle East right now. I said, it's exactly what's happening in the Middle East right now. And in fact, the Mexico thing is like a microcosm of what the whole Middle East has been about all these years. And this whole Iran. And I told him, I said, this Iran thing is going to go nowhere. It's going to be a big nothing burger, just like I've told you for the past 4 years, all these things. So he watches all these hysteria personalities, and he always thinks we're on the verge of World War III. We're on the verge of World War III. And it's like, dude, you've been saying that for 3-4 years. I mean, he just doesn't get it.
I'll give you one thing, though. I watched another video about silver. If you're not paying attention to silver, you might be missing the point. And he was giving some interesting stuff about this guy's name is Clive Thompson on YouTube. And he was saying that the amount of silver in the commodity exchanges is woefully short. So he's saying starting tomorrow, which is Thursday, the exchanges are going to start making sure that anyone who is selling silver actually has it. And he says that there isn't enough silver in the vault, so it's going to create a huge short squeeze. And he is predicting silver to go ballistic. And this is the price right now. So it already is up 4, 5, 6% today. And so here is the price right now, $90. So we'll see if he's correct. Let's put it that way. It peaked out here at 120, and let's see if it goes back there. So it's kind of on that trajectory now. So we're going to see what happens. This is not investment advice, by the way, but I just wanted people to see what may be behind the headlines, because I don't believe any of the official story. I don't believe in the drug problem. Don't you think that if drugs were a real problem, they would really be able to do something about it? Or do you think they're so helpful?
I spoke to somebody yesterday and he says that fentanyl is a real problem. He works with a bunch of addicts.
But where does it come from? Because when you go to the hospital, what do they give you? For painkillers.
Well, it's opiate. Yes.
It's fentanyl.
Oh, is it?
I think it is. Yes. So where do you, maybe they're just coming from people's prescriptions. You know, people sell their prescriptions all the time. Isn't that the most efficient way of getting it?
I don't know. I don't buy it. I don't know.
No, I know, but anyone that's ever been on painkillers,
yeah,
they get a prescription, they can easily get it refilled and they can sell it. They can sell the pills. I'm not into drugs and medication, but from what I've understood, the fentanyl doesn't cross the border. It's in the hospital. So the people that get prescriptions and shady pharmacists, it's not that hard. So if anyone wants to back me up on that, let me know.
Well, just do a search. So where does fentanyl come from?
Well, if you listen to the media, or Trump, it comes from Canada and Mexico and China.
I don't know. I really don't know, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm not into drugs. Anyone in the comments wants to make a comment on that, let me know. Phil, what do you know about that?
Well, yeah, like I said, I spoke to somebody who works at a rehab center, and he said that fentanyl is a very serious problem. I said, because I see these videos on social media of these people doing the fent bents, and they're on the sidewalk, and they're just like hunched over. I said, are those real? He goes, yeah, those are real.
No, I believe that. I believe that's real.
Yeah, okay.
I've seen in every major city, including my own city, and what it does is it paralyzes your spine and the muscles around your spine, and then you can't get back up because those muscles that pull you straight back up are paralyzed at the time. So, yeah, you're bent over because it takes muscle control to be able to stand up straight.
Well, I've seen, in my experience, I went to Washington, D.C. once. I think it was in 2009, and I saw some heroin addicts on some park benches or on some concrete planters, but they weren't bent over, like the vent. And
they didn't have the fent. They could be on anything else as well, right?
Yeah, I don't go to the big city very much, and so I don't have much experience. All I see it on social media of these guys bent over. And then you got these people that try to ask if they're okay. They shake them. They say, hey, are you alive? And, you know, they film themselves as they're doing it. And it's like, well, I don't know. That could be real. I don't know. But yeah, it's not coming from Mexico. And it's not coming from Venezuela. And Trump blowing up these drug boats is just a hoax.
Did you read this comment here? Hard to live.
Okay.
He's saying that it's to justify more U.S. intervention. And I think it's because of the silver. He says cartels have always been very cautious not to mess with Americans. As an American, you're 100% 100 times safer in Mexico than a Mexican. Even mid-level criminals know you don't touch Americans because it brings too much heat. The cartels prohibit it and will kill a Mexican for violating that norm. Mexicans are fair game for kidnapping, but not Americans because the cartels are in total control and they don't want the heat.
So, I think that's the mainstream media conspiracy theorist.
Okay.
I believe what it's really about is to bring in more refugees. That's the biggest thing. I mean, there's probably other reasons why they do it, but the biggest thing is to just bring in more asylum seekers and bring in more refugees. And that's my opinion. And I know he wrote that comment and just kind of said, I was thinking to myself, well, you kind of sound like Max Egan right now. You're spewing the Max Egan theory. And that's not my opinion. And so it's just, here's a girl that says everything's fine in Puerto Vallarta.
Reporting live from the streets of Mexico right now, where this dude that has 3.2 million followers posts this video that's completely made up, saying that me and two other girls are liberals that are also Americans, which I'm not a liberal or American, are stuck here and we can't get home and all this stuff.
So there's a bunch of libs that are trapped in Mexico right now, and they're terrified because of cartel violence that's spiraling out of control. It's very dangerous. And they're demanding the U.S. government and the Trump administration save them and deliver them back into America.
This complete made-up story. The streets are open. Transportation's open. It's completely safe here. The cartel war that happened on Sunday was a 24-hour thing. Everything was cleaned up. Today is Tuesday. The airports are back open. Everyone's out. Businesses are back open. What you see in the media is not true at all. And it just goes to show you that you cannot trust the media. I live here also and moved here for the winter. Tourists were injured. No civilians were injured. This was an act of retaliation between the cartel and the government because one of the cartel leaders were killed.
Okay, that's the official story. So
yeah, that's the official. And so
proper Ingi.
That's where she's diverting because it wasn't retaliation. If they were going to retaliate, they would have killed some people. Okay. You know, just burning cars in the street is just an act of a hoax. It's just an act. It's a show. It's a show. It just to make the whole world like that one dude saying that going hysterical, saying there's a war zone there and these girls are trapped. And so you see, it's get people like him to go hysterical, but yet there's nothing going on there. And so, but this girl does misdirect also, but she tells us that it's nothing going on there. And it's.
What else we got on the elemental? You know,
these guys were, these look like real bullets. Is that the streets are empty. They cleared out the streets.
Looks like a drill.
Yeah, it's a drill. And now they're it looks like they're shooting real bullets at the building, but there's nobody in that building. And he's just spraying it just randomly. And so this makes no sense at all. There's nobody on the street.
So why do you think it's real bullets?
Because you can see the puffs of smoke coming off the building. If you enlarge the video, you can see like puffs of smoke coming off the building.
Yeah.
So I kind of think they used real rounds, but you know, they can use real rounds if they close off the area and just shoot up an empty building. I mean, it's that's something they've done a thousand times.
Peter Krantz says burning cars is fashionable as a sign of hoax unrest. Okay. I like that. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. They've been doing the burning cars thing. Heck, I mean, like I said, even
9/11 burning cars.
Even the London, burning cars on 9/11. Even the London Blitz
or toasted cars.
They blew up some buildings at the London Blitz. They burned some cars at the London Blitz. But again, we have to look at did they remember to take a picture of any of the dead civilians? And it's like no, they didn't, because there were no dead civilians to take a picture of. Because those cars were empty, those buildings were empty, and so this is an old trick.
Very old. All right. Well, Jim, what do you got on your channel? We got. Why don't we talk about some anything you want to highlight that you've been talking about?
I like the video I put up about middle class, about people being the middle class is just being squeezed, and you know. I thought that was pretty good. I mean, it's kind of like a cartoony type thing, but I believe it 100%. I mean, you got poor, you got rich, then you get the middle class, and then the ones that
imagine it's December
paying all the bills. You know,
you're a 43-year-old.
Well, it's the biggest class.
Yeah,
Cyrus in the Palermo neighborhood. You have a good car, a Renault Megane, purchased on credit 18 months ago. You have a university degree from the Universidad de Buenos Aires. You have a life insurance policy. Faithfully paid into for 11 years.
Is this about Argentina? Sounds like it.
This guy talking is that Chinese guy.
This is a Chinese guy. Okay.
Yeah, he's the Chinese guy that does all those other AI things. They put him on all the AI.
Oh, is that? Oh, okay.
Also have a small vacation property.
Remember him?
Mendoza that you and your husband.
Well, I'm just wondering where they are. I said Mendoza and Buenos Aires. That's nice Argentina, things, I think.
Clothes, electronics.
Yeah.
Home theater system, installments, all of it, the ordinary furniture of a middle-class life that you worked hard to build. On December 1st, the Argentine government freezes all bank accounts. It is called the Corralito. You cannot withdraw more than 250 pesos per week. Within days, the peso's peg to the U.S. dollar is abandoned. Within weeks, the currency loses roughly 70% of its value. Riots break out. Five presidents cycle through in 11 days. Supermarket shelves are stripped.
So this is Argentina you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Before the, I guess the latest guy went in.
Yeah.
Okay.
All my other videos are just, you know, basically, you know, same people I put up, the Michael Jones stuff and, you know, Hitler stuff, you know.
Yeah, the usual.
Yeah. I mean, I've been having a discussion a little bit with my friend Gypsy Fox guy, and, you know, he comes off with his nonsense about Hitler. He was put in power so he could run Germany into the ground so they could be, you know, destroyed. And I'm saying, what the hell are you talking about? Who put him in power? I mean, you're telling me who's the that put Hitler in power? He fought communism. They were the bad guys. And so who would you put him in power? Would it be the communist leading people or Jews, which would be the Jews? You know what I mean?
I think the Germans were targeted for extermination before World War One. And that's what World War One was about. And then certainly in the Versailles Treaty was all about exterminating the German people and the Weimar Republic. And so the Germans, after all these years, they knew that they were targeted for extermination. And so they could either allow it to happen or they can elect a guy like Hitler and fight back. And right. So I think the Germans decided we're not going to sit down and take it. We're going to fight back.
That's right.
And I believe that's what happened in those years.
I agree.
All right. Let's talk about space glitches.
Yeah, I put the video up about fake space stuff. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of people into that stuff.
And they showed you a flat Earth here this whole time. But what I want you to watch what happens.
What exactly do you think we're looking at if it's not in space? Which I agree, it's not space. But what?
I believe we're looking at 2001 Space Odyssey. That was a movie and made in 1968, and they had the exact same special effects. So this special effect is like 60 years old.
They're not even getting better, is your point.
Yeah. So this is not a new technique. This is they showed us that they could do this in 1968. And so this is just a different director using the same sort of special effect technique. But again, the first question we should always ask is, can this be replicated in Hollywood? And when you're looking at this, we can't avoid that question. It's like, well, yes, Hollywood can replicate this. And so if you can't eliminate Hollywood, well, then you have to start out by saying it's a hoax. And it's up to them to prove to me that this is not Hollywood, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I agree with you there.
Well, I don't believe anything that NASA tells us or anything about space. I don't believe any of it, because to me, they're just lying to you. And again, the big discussion on my channel, believe it or not, when I put up flat Earth videos, I got more comments about those videos and people arguing amongst themselves about flat Earth stuff. But I what bothers me about the flat Earth stuff is the globe people, what they present is a lot of fakery. And that's what gets me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm just reading your comments here.
Oh, did they go on and on and on? I mean, most comments, it's incredible. You know,
do you think they argue trolls? For instance, this guy, Only the Ghost, do you think he was sent or he's scouring BitChute, or is he a regular commenter on your channel?
Well, okay, let me tell you something about him. Okay, I blocked him months ago. All right, and then I got in a conversation with him on another channel, it might have been Phil's channel, and he, you know, he said about me blocking him. And then he said something that he said that he was actually right. And I actually said, well, you're right about that. And you know what he said? Here's what he said. He said that Eric Dubé was dressed in a girl's clothes or having a dress on. And I just said, there's no way he dressed up in that like a girl.
No, he did. I've seen that video.
Yeah, I know. But then I saw it. I saw the picture. So I said, gee, I have to apologize. You're absolutely right. You know. So I apologized to him. And I said, I'll put you back on my site. And he's come back. So this is him coming back, you know, after being kicked off my channel.
Oh, okay. No, I was just wondering if it's your regular commenters or you think that when Flat Earth comes up, other people come to your channel just to.
Oh, there's probably a lot of people that come to my channel because I don't block people for the most part. And, you know, they come to my channel and they'd be blocked or the other channels don't have comments. Okay. Yeah. So that's why they come to my channel.
Well, I think there's a troll army that's assigned to Flat Earth. Like they'll go wherever it's discussed. So if you've got on your thing.
Yeah, I believe that too. I see them.
Yeah. I just don't think they're your regular run of the mill people. That's their assignment, as far as I know. And maybe bots can do the job now. Because before, I believe there was quite an army of people going through YouTube. And then things got too expensive. And then they laid them all off. I believe that there were real people watching videos and knocking channels down, especially during COVID. I think they were crazy about that. And then it seems to have backed off because I don't think those people are there anymore. And maybe AI has been there to replace some of these people looking for keywords and sounds in the videos, but I'm not too sure. I think it's really, they really backed off on YouTube. A lot more stuff that wouldn't last is staying up now.
Yeah.
Phil, you should go try getting onto YouTube again because there's a lot of stuff that was not allowed that is on YouTube now.
Yeah, I kind of see that on Instagram.
Yeah.
Instagram I consider to be very similar to YouTube and they
and Facebook. Yeah, that's Facebook. Facebook owns Instagram.
Yeah, I don't see Phil having a problem on YouTube. That I can't get on YouTube. I've been banned for life.
No, you haven't. You should go back on. You have.
I tried getting back on. I can't get back on.
Well, like, you get someone to help you. I'm pretty sure there's no. I don't. I've never met anyone banned from YouTube for life.
I can't even comment on people's videos.
I know. Make a new ID and get on. Like the people on BitChute, they got 10 IDs. Just get back on.
I don't know, but I think they track. Well, I'd have to try it here.
If you use a VPN, they can't track you.
Okay, I'll have a
VPN. You're coming from a different. You could change countries every time.
Okay,
if that does work. I don't know if they'll allow you to sign up with a VPN though. I have no idea. I haven't signed up at YouTube in a long time, but I would be very shocked if you couldn't get on.
I do. Let me tell you this. Okay, I do have a channel. Mm-hmm. On YouTube that I didn't know about. Okay. Yeah. And there's 400 videos on that channel, old ones, you know, videos going back like 7 or 8 years. So anyway, there you go.
Peter Krantz says he's banned, but who knows? Hold on
hold
a second.
Time 37 seconds.
Down by the St. Lawrence where the cold winds play live John the beggar with a mind that sways. He connects the dots in a curious
that's funny
place. Oh John the beggar of the bay, reading the script while the world's on display. With fakeologists, they light up the grave.
You're on, John. Go ahead.
Hey, the other day I was talking to you with Rick, the salt guy, and
Frank, the salt guy.
Frank, excuse me, not Rick. I was telling you that the silver they were selling was only paper. There's no real silver behind it.
Yes, I know. You said something like that. It wasn't totally clear, but this guy is specifically saying the number of contracts being offered are way out of whack with the actual physical supply. That's all. So there's going to be a squeeze. So there's going to be a squeeze, but that happens all the time. But this time the imbalance is.
Too.
Yeah, but that's the way it works. But when it comes to delivering, it's the exchange's job to make sure that they have to guarantee the contract. So they do whatever. That's why tomorrow is a big day, because they're going to raise all the margins and all the people that are just floating out there as speculator have to pay the piper or get out. It works both ways. So if they can't come up with it, they have to close their contract. And the closing of the contracts is what is going to create the short squeeze, according to this guy.
Okay. And I just like to say that I know Kensington Avenue in Philadelphia is real.
Okay.
I've had young relatives who are delivery drivers who've gone down there and got sick and tired of being sent down there because they didn't like being around there, that they actually quit jobs. They tell me it's real, and they tell me, you come on out there, we'll take you on a ride through Kensington.
Why, what's going on there?
That's a bunch of fentanyl addicts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they look like zombies because they're all methed or fentanyled out. Yeah.
Yeah, Jim, you can look this up on YouTube.
Okay.
Kensington Avenue. They even have live streams of it. It's horrible.
I know. I've seen it. I've seen people like that. Yeah.
And, you know, I have to agree with psychologists. All these drugs have been brought in. LSD came from British intelligence. They've let everything in. They have been doing a massive culling of the American people for years. You can go back to the Civil War, and both sides, I have no doubt.
Oh, the British did it to China too with the Opium Wars, did they not?
But absolutely. I'll tell you what really did it in the Civil War. I went when I was a little boy up to Gettysburg, and I said, "Where was the battle?" And they said, "Right there." And they said they came up that field, and it's almost 6,000 feet from the trees. It's the stupidest strategy I ever heard of. I, as a little kid, knew that you couldn't win a snowball fight doing that.
I thought you were going to say you were in the Civil War, but you're not that old, right?
No, I'm not that old. I'm only 67.
All right, 6'7", 6'7". Oh, sorry.
Oh, 13, uh-oh. That's right.
Yeah, no, it's that the young children are saying 6'7". I don't know if you're aware of that. That's just a funny, stupid little thing that the alpha generation, that's people 15 and below. I don't think you're in contact with that group, are you? So. Yeah.
Not really. No,
that's most what I was of the that.
Well, I have a cousin that has a few, and I'll probably see them later on in the year, so I'll have some contact then.
All right.
But anyways, yeah, those places are real.
Yes.
And the drugs have been being put in here to exterminate us.
Well, I don't know.
Just like COVID vaccine was.
Yeah, okay. Well, they can't get rid of everyone though, don't you think? It's just a select few that
around.
Right. But where do you think the fentanyl comes? John, you're into the hospital system a little bit. Where do you think the fentanyl comes from?
Mostly comes from the drug companies, I have no doubt.
No, I know. But how does it get into the black market? We know that the drug companies make it, but where does it actually come from?
Comes from patients.
Yeah.
I have no doubt. In fact, I know people sell pain pills.
That's right.
And I've even had people come up to me and do you want pain pills or where do you get your pain medication? I had a couple of ladies and I think they were narcs. It was a few years ago. And they said, where do you get your drugs from? Drugs and pain pills. And I said, down at the corner, Fort and Southfield. And they said, who do you get it from? And I said, Walgreens.
Yeah.
And they looked at me and I could tell it was wrong answer. And do you want to buy some? And I said, no. And they took off then. And I have no doubt they were both a couple of narcs.
Okay. But do you think it comes from over the border in Canada? Now, I think when they talk about drugs coming from Canada, they're mad that Canadian drug companies can sell into the United States for a lot cheaper. That's something that they don't want to speak about. But that's the drug problem they're actually talking about from Canada is the pharmacies up here can ship into the U.S. for less than half price. So it's once more back to commerce. But is that the fentanyl they're talking about? No, I think that's
some some probably does come over illegally. Some probably do smuggle it. But most of it, I think it comes here legally and then is distributed. Right. It's much like the black neighborhoods. There are people and former gang members who claim when a crack got going, all of a sudden crates were dropped off in alleys of poor neighborhoods. And in those crates, there were automatic weapons. And I have no doubt that the government did that, put that stuff out there and created the problem.
Okay.
All right. I just have absolutely no doubt about that. But anyways,
are you buying silver, John?
No, I don't have any money.
Okay.
I'm John the beggar.
Oh, don't you have one of those Kennedy coins?
I probably have a few of those. A
couple Kennedys, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I probably do.
Silver dollar.
You know, the old, yeah, the old pre-Johnsons.
Yeah, the pre-Johnsons.
My dad used to call them non-Johnsons. Good quarters, he'd say.
Good quarters. That's funny. Yeah. All right, John. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Catch you later, guys.
Bye. Yep, thanks.
John the beggar.
He's a Granger man is saying that there are spectators on the sidelines during the Civil War. Politicians and socialites brought picnic baskets and watched. Well, those were only Yankees.
Is he joking?
No, that's the Battle of Bull Run, where the Yankees actually went into Virginia, which was enemy territory, and they brought their picnic baskets because they knew they didn't have to fear the Confederates. They knew the Confederates would not harm civilians. But what happened during Bull Run is the Confederates whooped the Yankees' ass and made them retreat, and then all these people with picnic baskets had to run, but none of them were harmed. In fact, the civilian that was killed was a Virginian, with a Southern lady, and the Yankees killed her, burned her house on the way out. It's like, wait a minute, she was a civilian. Why'd you do that? And so, and that set the stage for what the Civil War was going to be all about, was that the Yankees just killing civilians and the Confederates not killing civilians. An army gains a reputation, and the Confederates did not have that reputation.
Okay, this is El Mencho's Last Stand.
Yeah, and so this is the best they got. Oh, my friend at the dog park said, didn't you see that video of El Mencho's Last Stand? How could you say it was fake? I said, yeah, I posted it on my channel. I mean, how could you say it's real? I mean, you know,
where it's amazing how people. Where is he? I don't even see him.
Yeah, you can't tell anything from that video. It's amazing how people just the way the video is labeled, their brain tells them what they're seeing. It's like, I don't go by the way the video is labeled. I look at it and I say, I don't see anything that even shows anybody getting shot. I see some people playing an act. You know, it's amazing.
So you're saying what do you think of cartels? Are they real?
I think they are a real American glowy operation.
Okay,
but they're funded by the Americans to go down there and burn cars and to pretend to be menace.
So they're there to destabilize the Mexican government?
No, to make Americans think that the Mexico is destabilized. The Mexicans who live there aren't afraid of them at all. The Mexicans that live there are not afraid of the cartels because nothing ever happens. But
like the cartels because they do a lot of social work. They spend money on social services.
I think I've heard that too. Is any of that true? And I bet you they do. Maybe they do. But
so where do they get their money?
This is targeted towards an American audience.
So, but where do they get their money? Are they shaking down businesses? Because that's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too, but I don't think they are. But
why would they be shaking down the businesses?
They need money so they can run their operation.
No, the drug guys have so much money that you need a truck just to carry it all. That's how much cash they have. That's the big problem, getting the cash. They have plenty of cash, and they have the drugs. So, you know, they bring the drugs up to the United States, however which way they do it, which is a lot of ways. And then they get the cash that has to come back down to them. And that's the big problem too, because when you have like $1 million or millions of dollars in cash, even if the $100 bills, that's a lot of weight and a lot of cash. So you gotta get it into something, you gotta wash it, you gotta invest it in the businesses. That's why when I was talking to you guys about Framingham, about the Brazilians, which, you know, you guys don't think I had a problem with Brazilians, but the Brazilians would come into Framingham and they could buy any house, anything they could buy. They could buy any house they wanted because of the drug money. All right. So they buy the houses so they can wash the money. Okay. So in other words, it didn't matter whatever press asked for the house. Oh, they got millions of dollars worth of cash.
That sounds a lot like my Vietnamese client who's got these friends and that they own all these houses. And it's
that's
like,
right.
But they didn't bring, they don't look like druggies to me. What the, they're being brought over here and they're giving all this money.
But you don't think they work hard for their money?
No, because she rents, and everybody she rents, when I go over there to do work, they always complain to me saying, she's the worst landlord I've ever met. And they always tell that to me. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm just helping you out. I'm trying to fix your smoke alarm.
If she's so bad, why are they staying there?
Well, exactly. Well, you know, but they don't. They end up moving out. And, every time it's like they always tell me she's the worst landlord I've ever met. And it is just so funny. No, she's got no skills. She's got she didn't get her money because she's smarter than me. She got her money because she had special contacts. That's how.
Right. Look at all these people that are foreigners. A lot of them are just bringing drugs in. Okay. Whatever way they can do it. And then when they come to I'm just talking about where I lived in Framingham, they would buy all these businesses, car businesses. They'd buy, guys that worked on, cars, painting them and all that. I mean, these businesses were being sold for $1 million and they were able to buy these businesses like nothing. And they'd buy the houses, $500,000, $600,000 for a house. No problem, because they got to wash the cash. They have to get the cash back into real estate. So then they hold on to the real estate. They might put another $100,000, $200,000 fixing the house up. And then what they do is sell it like a year or two later to recoup the money. That's how they would work.
Okay. All right. So money laundering with drug money, you're saying. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. What else are you guys looking at this week? Anything exciting in the world of fakery or media lies and whatnot?
Not much going on yet.
We're gonna watch the Iranian crisis just turn into a big nothing burger. That's what I'm looking forward to.
You don't think there's gonna be a real war?
No, just more nothing burgers.
I like how they keep talking about the nuclear program. Phil, maybe you could look into that because they use the same story every single year. They're just about to get nukes.
Yeah,
I know. Or they've been doing it, I think, since the 90s or the 80s. I think they've been doing it since the 80s.
Yeah.
The nukes, it's a standby. Yeah,
they're always on the verge.
That's right.
I think we're 40 years that Iran's on the verge of getting a nuke. And so,
they'll take out another fake nuclear scientist. They'll say he's a nuclear scientist. And now that he's out, we got an extra year to make sure. And they're signing a deal saying they'll never, ever do it again. Promise. Cross my heart. Cross my fingers. It never ends. These stories get remanufactured, recycled every single year. It's like clockwork. It's so boring.
Yeah.
Does anyone... Phil, do you have any video on Instagram of Tehran, of just how things are going there in reality?
Yeah, I think everything's normal. Actually, I don't. There's not a lot coming out of Tehran during the fake missile strikes when Iran and Israel exchanged a few firecrackers a few months ago. There were some videos that came out of Iran, but none of them showed a dead body. One of them purported to show a dead boy on the street, but if it went too fast, and if you slowed the video down, it wasn't a dead boy, and so it's like, well, that video is not showing what you say it's showing, and that's the only. They told us that 700 people died in Iran from Israeli missiles, but I didn't see not a single legitimate dead body. It's just they blew up some buildings, some old buildings, and they set some cars on fire, in Tehran or Iran. But, that people see a burning car and they think, oh, that proves it. Oh, that means the war is real. It's like, man, they've been burning cars. It's like for over 100 years now.
War on cars. That's what it is. Old cars.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot for coming out today. Jim is MrTapman at gmail.com. Phil is Phil at Fakeologist.com. They're both on BitChute. And Jim even puts his phone number on the end of all his videos. You can phone him. He takes your calls. And he'll even talk to you normally. Yeah. Right, Jim?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me.
All right. See you later.
Bye now. See you. Bye-bye.